Thank you for tuning in to another webcast. Today is May the 21st, 2014, in Los Angeles, California, in the United States of America. Thank you for tuning in to today's webcast. PJ, your internet pastor, just sharing with you some of the information about what's going on the internet, the news in our country, giving it to you from a from the perspective of a 70-year-old man that is looking, really taking a stretched out look at his country this morning on the way to work, finishing up this semester at Harvard, receiving phone calls from students of mine that have studied with me over the years in theology, and encouraged by their enthusiasm to live up to the lessons that I taught them over the years. Believe it or not, there are a number of youngsters that are attempting to live up to the expectations, to live up to the expectations that were given them. And I want to share something with you that I'm encouraged. Listen, let me fade out this music here because I want to talk with you about, man, just many articles. So many things are happening. You recall yesterday what happened in the news, and what I want to do is I want to open up a new tab because I want to go to this particular bookmark here and go to a story that was up. And share that with you. It was a story here in Los Angeles. Well, let me go into the history because I probably had it. Yeah, here we are right here. I want to go into yesterday because, yeah, it was this thing about this killing, this Michael Jace killing. You know, the article came up, the Shill actor Michael Jace is charged in the wife's shooting death. And said, wait a minute, well, I went on another webpage there, but it was saying that he, well, he shot his wife in the face and killed her. And a personal friend of mine, who's a pastor, called me, who knew the young lady. She was an athlete, and he was outraged because, you know, the guy that shot her, her husband, Michael, went to this Oasis church. That's the church that he attended down on Wilshire Boulevard. I remember that Oasis is one of those word faith things, you know. You know, when you read the articles about this guy, you know, he's just, his house was in, man, a lot of people lost their houses, but they're not going to shoot their wife in the face. I mean, we removed God from everything, you know, in this country. We just removed him. I had communion yesterday at my home with a couple of guys. I had communion, and I said, I'm going to show you what communion is. I said, and we're not supposed to take this unworthily. We do this because we believe in something. We believe in something. Now, and I was telling young men that sometimes these old-fashioned beliefs, have become institutionalized, and people have gotten so far away from the tradition and from those things that govern how they are. They have gotten so darn far away from that stuff that now we're putting bullets in our wives' faces and shooting their faces off like that. That's pretty incredible to me. Just pretty incredible. I have never seen this place stoop down to the position that we find ourselves in today. It is terrible. Just something terrible. Well, I just saw on CNN, hackers hit eBay. Reset your password now. Yeah, well, right. Man, these, there's an article that I had up, and I wanted to share it with you, and I was looking at it, And I think it was under, oh my goodness, I don't know what happened to it, but it was about, but let me do this. Because I know what I wanted to speak with you about this morning, I really do. Yes. Yeah, the article is entitled Prison System Failing in America. I'm reading from the CNN opinion section of CNN, and I want to headline today's webcast with this, because as I was reading this, you know, no longer do I have television. I have my television turned off, so I don't look at television news. And I would rather read the news than to see some talking head tell me about what I'm reading. I don't need commentary on what I'm reading, but I do appreciate reading interesting news articles about what is going on in our world. If America under correctional supervision counted as a city of their own, they would form the largest city in the United States after New York. The number of people in prison, on parole, or on probation is 6.9 million Americans. It exceeds the population of the second and third largest cities, Los Angeles and Chicago combined, or the size of the next four, Houston, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Antonio, put together. Now, you may not think that these are startling facts, but they are. It says that 38 U.S. states are home to fewer people than live under the correctional system in this country. There are about as many people behind bars as live in Chicago. That's one out of every 108 Americans. One in 35 are under some form of correctional supervision. You know, they were talking about this Michael Jace guy, you know. What made him do that domestic violence? Well, I tell you, what did she say to him? What did he say back to her? I'm constantly not living in fear. I'm constantly living in because of the people that I deal with in my life now that I minister to. I'm constantly on the barrage. These people don't know what the hell I'm talking about. They have no idea. The mentality of what makes people get along is so darn strange that we're operating on two different codes here. Two different codes. There's a moral code, there's an intelligent code, and then there is, and that's what I think would happen, and then there's an ignorant code. You know, it's like you go back into the jungle mentality. You're not even rationalizing things. You know, when I think about those, oh, the worst place to put me, if someone drugged me and I woke up in an African country somewhere, just on a roadway, no sidewalks there, no toilet facilities, people living. I'm living in the middle of a city in Africa somewhere. And if I could speak the language, and if I woke up and if there were no moral restrictions or everything, I'd probably lay in the street and ask somebody to kill me. It would not be worth living unless there was order, rule, some kind of what would make a man do that to his wife in front of his two children, this Michael Jace guy. All right, this is Bubba Gumps, huh? Yeah, the movie star. Wait a minute. He makes $70,000 to $80,000 a year in residuals, and he was depressed. Are you kidding me? I made so little money this year that the federal government gave me money back. So that lets you know the level that I'm living on. I had a pastor friend of mine who's still active, and the pastor had asked me this last weekend. He said, John, how are you doing? I said, I'm doing all right. And he said, no, John, how are you really doing? Because, you know, I had to give up my car. I'm driving a Mini Cooper, and I got less money. I can't live the way I used to live. No, I can't do that. But he said, no, how are you really doing? I said, I'm living just like everybody else. I had one of my students come up to me yesterday and tell me that she just got kicked out of her house. Her mother put her out of her house. I teach students, and some of them tell me that they're terrified by what their parents are going to do to them, because the parents want to be, come on, and happy Southern California. Everybody wanted to live the life of a movie star. Bling, 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 dingy, dingy, ding. It doesn't make any sense. listen to this one. Listen to this one. Here's one. Among African Americans, the number are even more horrifying. According to the NAACP, 1 in 3 black males born in the United States, 1 in 3 black males born in the United States today is likely to spend time in prison at some point of their life. Let me tell you, I've never been into an LA County jail or anybody's county jail or anybody's prison. When I was in the military, 20 days in the stockade for insubordination to a non-commissioned officer because a little racist bigot tried to use his rank on me and I told him where he could kiss. I'm just being real with it. They gave me 20 days, took my stripes away. I was up for sergeant. That was back in the 60s. Couldn't have it. Not a smart talking black guy over white guys, right? That's the way the country was. That's the only jail I've seen in my life. But man, when I look at these stats, they're horrifying, horrifying. That's compared with 1 in 6 Hispanic males or 1 in 25 white males. You see what I'm talking about? Blacks are going to jail per capita faster, quicker than whites and anybody else. And it looks like they're trying to hoard us in to the concentration camps. You know, this country is becoming a police state. If you work in law enforcement, you got a real good gig because you're going to make some money, because you're going to have to lock up these degenerates that are running around here. The writer of the article goes on and says that it would be hard to overstate the scale of this tragedy. For a nation that loves freedom and cherishes our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the situation should be intolerable. It is destroying lives and communities. Oh, I like this. I like this guy. Who's this talking like this? Gee whiz. Newt Gingrich and Van Jones wrote this thing together. Well, of course, and they have their pictures right there. Newt, the Republican, and Van, I don't know what he is, but this is pretty good. They go on and say that our corrections systems is not correcting. Well, of course they're not. It was not intended to correct. With 3 years of being released from prison, nearly half of the prisoners are convicted of another crime, with 1 out of 4 ending up back in prison. So it is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. A lifestyle that is so refreshing to them that guys go back to jail like, oh man, I just signed up for an extra summer work class. I mean, it's ridiculous. I would be horrified. I was speaking with a young lady from another state. I won't get into the details, but it was a security problem on her job, and they were questioning her as if she was a part of this security problem. And I was merely telling the young lady, the character that you are should reign supreme when talking with police. The character that I am. You know, somebody accused me of something and the police picked me up. First of all, I wouldn't be afraid because I'm not afraid of the police. Oh, I'm not. I am afraid of what they can do to me behind closed doors. But I'm not afraid of the police. In other words, when I see police, I don't become fearful. I don't have any reason to run. I don't have any reason not to turn over my ID. I don't have any reason not to answer them questions. I'm not a criminal. See? Recently, I was engaged in a conversation with someone, and I had to call the police. And I said, I'm going to have to call the police on you because you're telling me that you're going to do what you're not allowed to do. And what you expect me to do is to let you do that. So I found myself calling the police, and I found the person that I was talking to gone. I had to call and cancel the call. I don't want it charged to my bank account every time a black and white unit rolls, but I called the police in a minute. I believe what my parents told me. The police are here to help you, not hurt you. But I'm reading this article, and this is horrifying. And I'm glad Van and Newt got together and wrote this thing. All right, It's not correcting. Well, it wasn't supposed to be correcting. Within 3 years of being released from prison, these guys are back. When a typical bureaucracy does its job this badly, it wastes money, they say. It wastes money, time, and paper. The corrections bureaucracy is failing to correct the large majority of inmates, and its charge not only wastes money, but also wastes lives, families, and entire cities. Well, of course, in saying this, this is because it goes back to one thing. It goes all the way back to the main thing that I've been talking to you about for years on this website. We've erased God. When you've taken God out of it, when you don't teach moral stability anymore, when you don't teach ethics the way it ought to be taught, oh my gosh, I can't wait for my writing experience after this semester to open up. And I'm running late getting ready to go to school now, but I am excited about writing about this and talking about this and verbalizing these things, because we need to talk. And I'm not talking about in a forum, because I don't want to talk with anybody whose mind can't keep up with mine. You know what I mean? Let me give you a good example of that. I was standing at the lectern at the end of my class one day this week, and a student came up to me. Oh my God, this student. I think this is the second class that he took with me, young Filipino boy. And he came up to me and he said, "Mr. Coleman, you recall I took Introduction to Philosophy with you?" And I said, "Yes, I do. How are you, son? Are you enjoying this class?" Currently, he's taking World Religions with me. And he said, "Yes, I'm enjoying the class immensely." He says, "I just wanted to share with you, because in World Religions," I guess he took it because when he took Philosophy 1 with me, there's where we bring in the idea if there's a God. And I give St. Thomas Aquinas' 5 ways to know whether there's a God. We go into the cosmological, teleological argument for God and arguments against God. We get into human nature with Descartes, who else? Locke, Hume, Berkeley, all this stuff. And so he said, "You opened my mind like no other professor has." And I said, "I beg your pardon, I don't understand." Really, I did, because he's a young man. And so I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I want to know what he's thinking. And he told me at that time, he said, "There was a time when I would say that I didn't believe in God, but the arguments that you presented," and then he told me it takes him an hour to walk from the college to get to his home. That's how difficult things are in this economy now. I got this young Filipino kid, God bless his little heart, walking from his house to the school. Not on a bike, don't have a car, maybe didn't have any bus fare, but walking an hour to get to the campus. And he said, "Every day I would meditate and I would try to talk to God." And he said, "I believe in God. He came to me a priori, not a posteriori, but a priori, just the way I taught in Philosophy 1. And he said, "I want to thank you, because that would not have happened if it had not been for you and for me parousing in my mind." And I said, after he left the classroom, watched him as he walked out of the classroom. I was left in there all alone, packing up all my stuff. And I said, "Oh, Jehovah God, thank you so much." And I didn't open my Bible once to that youngster, nor did I witness once to him. God can come to any of his creation when they reflect upon his person in righteousness. That's all I taught when I was a pastor in the church. So why would this actor who goes to the Oasis Christian Fellowship on Wilshire shoot his wife in the face and his 2 boys are in the house there? Huh? What's that all about? Is that Christianity? Huh? Hmm? That's why I say any Christian, any person calls himself a Christian and does something like that is no Christian. Never has been a Christian. Very confused. Very confused. See, and when this kid told me that, I said, yes, I'm on the right track. I'm on the right track. I've been telling you, this church stuff, man, what a waste. Because see, it's the people that's going to church that do this crap. So what you lose in your house? Man, if you're making $80,000 a year with residuals, and do you know what the commentator said on CNN when I watched that yesterday? He said, $70,000 or $80,000, that's really not a lot of money. That's what the news commentator said. That's really not a lot of money. Let me tell you something. These people that they got working for CNN and all these news mongrel medias, these whores that take money to report what the government tells them to report, they're all drinking out of the same cistern. But let me continue to read this article. Man, $70,000 or $80,000 is not a lot of money. Are you kidding me? You guys know how many times I've told you. Maybe a few semesters I made over $45,000 a year. But on the average, I've never made in my life more than $34,000, $35,000 a year. Never, ever. I've never required that kind of money to live. I don't know why anyone would need more than, let me give it to you in round figures. The news commentator said, that's nothing. I could live off of about $25,000 a year if I worked. I ought to work that out and see how many adjunct classes I could teach. I could live alone, comfortably, by myself, driving this Mini Cooper, eating one meal a day, saving I don't get sick, right? Worshiping God, loving people, still doing what I'm doing for about $35,000. 25, really. And if you really want to be, hey, just give me $20,000 a year. If I get $20,000 a year, I could live off that. No, you can't. You're in Los Angeles. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. None of us require that. None of us. We'd have to give up some of this mess we're holding on to. And let me tell you people about some of you people that don't believe in being hard on people. Some of you people believe in giving these people everything they want. I'm not going to give them anything but a hard time to go. That's all. Let me continue to read this. I got to meet somebody at the college in about an hour and 15 minutes. And I'm sitting up here talking in the studio. Can I finish this when I get home? I think I will finish this article. And I'm going to start at this paragraph right here. It says, the current system is broken beyond repair. It's a human, social, and financial disaster, talking about the prisons. And we need a radical strategy for replacement of these huge bureaucracies that lack any meaningful oversight. Now, what I believe they're leading up to, let's open up the concentration camps and have help places to energize these people so they won't be criminals, and we'll take care of them on that basis. And that'll just be a move to put you into the cotton fields again to herd this cattle. See, America's always looking for new techniques to get things done. But trust me, it's going to be a worse scenario, because whenever you leave God out of it, it's got to turn into garbage. This is PJ, your internet pastor, just speaking from his office here, saying whatever you do, you know the drill. Stay in the Word. I'll be back to finish this later.